Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We're continuing our interview with Tom Donnan. Tom's a good friend of our ministry, and we've been talking with him all week long about different atmospheric things going on, asteroid flybys, some just different scenarios that are coming from, that scientists have discovered coming from space that is affecting the Earth. And all these things tie in to the biblical discussion of the last days. And it's just so fascinating to me as we discuss these things, and that's why I want to share them with you. And we're going to kick it off here in just a second, talking about the signs of the last days concerning taking the mark of the beast. So let's jump right back into the interview, starting right there with Tom Donnan. Think of, a young married couple that has, two little kids, say 6 and 3 or whatever, and the option is you either take this mark or you will not be able to buy or sell anything. How are you going to feed your family? How are you going to provide for your little kids? Yeah. Sure, we could kill you, but yeah. Why? Because we know you'll come over to our side when your kids are no longer able to feed, to eat, and, they won't be able to buy any clothes. You're not going to be able to go to public school. You're not going to be able to use, you're not going to be able to buy gas for the car. You're not going to be able to pay your rent or your, that's the pressure. Like, golly, I have to provide for my family. I mean, that's been the driving motivation for men for, eons, is providing for their family. How are you going to do that unless you take the mark, And that's where the problem is going to end up. Someone your age, my age, we're like, hey, buddy, do what you got to do. I'm not doing it, But that's one thing. But when you're, faced with that, that's a hard decision to make.
Well, I've been paying attention to prophecy since I first read The Late Great Planet Earth, by Hal Lindsey.
Yeah,
he got me started on this, and so I've been paying attention to prophecy for a long time. And now that I'm actually see it shaping up, that's when it becomes very, very scary.
Yeah.
Now, recently, what I'm hearing the message is that evangelism, it's as if the Lord is really telling people, get out there and evangelize, which means is share the gospel. And it seems as though people are more receptive to being open to sharing it. Now, on Wednesday, down in Table Rock Lake at the church where I was at, they had a time where people would bring up questions to the objection of the gospel. And so that they would be ready to be able to answer those. The pastor was trying to get them ready for evangelism. And the thing is, having had, like we've mentioned and talked about before, being on Needham Ministries, I've had thousands of conversations about the objections, And so everybody thinks that they're going to be going to heaven. And then I will say, that's God's home. And God's got a plan, so you got to find out what his plan is if you want to get to his home. And sin is not allowed, so you're going to have to deal with this some points in your life before it's over. And it's that risking to have the conversation, to get your head in the right place, to be able to answer the question according to how Peter, I think, it, what is it, 1 Peter that says, be ready with an answer for anybody who asks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the things that we're talking about that are going on in the world, what we're watching happening politically and socially in our nation, has got people so aware that change is on the cusp and this isn't normal. It's like sliding down the slippery slope. You keep on wondering, where in the world is this going to end? And I'm watching YouTubes where people are basically saying, I've got enough. I can't go any further down this slippery slope. I've had it. This is beyond my ability to be able to cope with. And this isn't me no more. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's now we got being able to have conversations, and this is how people are having the openness to be able to talk about the gospel.
Yep.
No, and this is where I think God is getting a lot of churches and individuals ready to be able to have that conversation, because the harvest is upon us, which is really good. So the thing about the things that are taking place earthwise, you know, we just had that terrible Hurricane Michael, you know, that devastated the panhandle and going into Georgia. No, part of that is that the Gulf of Mexico is warmer this year than it has been in the past. No, and that creates that cycle. Now, I'm not a global, you know, what do they call that? Global warming person. Mm-hmm. You know, I contributed to different aspects of what's going on, like the core is heating up because it's got two inputs of magnetic waves coming. And so I think they've known this for some time. I told this to my son the other day. I said, I think that global warming thing has been a ruse so that they know what's coming in advance. And now I'm starting to find out that they've known for some time about things that I've wondered about. And you can start to see now that they have been getting prepared for the events that we're now seeing unfold in front of our eyes.
Like what? You said some of magnetic waves. Explain that.
Okay, so there was, you know, now, okay, so we're going to jump down into this thing about talking about the massive rogue planet that they have found with unexplained auroras glowing off in the distance. You know, they got
Planet
those,
X?
Well, it's got many names. They call, this particular article calls the massive rogue planet, which others call it Nibiru and others call it Planet X, you know. And I, in the beginning of getting into this with the atmospheric sounds, I did buy into that for a while until I realized, well, wait a minute, there's no substantial truth to this. But now NASA, with the new telescopes that they got in space, actually has pictures of this large mass that is, they say it's 20 light years away, which Alpha Centauri, which is the closest star to our galaxy, is 6 light years away. So it's, you know, like 3 times further back. But they say that it's like, what is it, about 20 times or bigger than Jupiter, with 200 times the gravitational pull, if I remember the article right. And it's moving in this direction to the point now where they got pictures and they can show, you know, we have axis and it spins in the, what do you call it, east to west. Mm-hmm. Well, the pictures of this particular planet shows it going from north to south in that type of rotation.
Like rolling, yeah.
Yeah, it's rolling. It's to the point where, you know, there's no sun on it except from our sun. So it's an interesting image, and it's like really weird. But it's the gravitational pull that I think is having an impact on our world, to where it is disturbing the ground. You know, where is this one of the reasons why we're having the effect of the crack showing up? You know, the additional gravitational pull.
How could something 20 light years away be affecting the Earth? Like when our sun is right there, shouldn't that be like counteracting whatever pull it would have?
Well, this is the thing about, yeah, I know. I was just trying to open up this article on this link that I got to see if I could find it real quick, but it's not opening up. So it is about the atmosphere pull, and 2 years ago, they had 5 waves of energy that were coming from outside the galaxy into our galaxy, and this is where it's different. You see, we have the sun that is in the center of the solar system, which gives us radiation that was coming from one direction, and they have noticed that there is radiation coming from the other direction. So you have 2 sources of radiation that are coming in and entering the North Pole, you know, coming into the our world, which now it has 2 sources of energy, which increases the output. And then this output contributes to the fact that it's warmer and it's acting differently on the Earth. And that's why we're starting to see some of the areas where the North Pole has got the, what do they call that, glaciers that are melting, and then on the South Pole, it's actually increasing on the South Pole, which is like really weird. You think we would spin upside down, you know? You know, like the heavy part is now not there no more, so it's going to, you know, like shift. I don't know. That's just a crazy thought that I get. So something is affecting the world in new ways, and this is just a way of saying that maybe this is contributing to the fact that the strange stuff that we're seeing, to the point where some of these cracks show up underneath lakes, and the next thing you know, they're drained. No?
Wow.
So the water winds up disappearing. And I'm hoping that it goes into the aquifer, you know, and restabilizes an aquifer. No, but I don't know that as of yet. So this is newer information that I really have decided that, okay, I think I'm going to listen to this article and mm-hmm. see what it has to say.
Well, if that water is being drained into the earth, that could be, you know, if it gets down, you know, into a fissure or something like that, you're going to have the steam forced out, which will crack apart portions of the earth, create earthquakes. You know, it could evolve into a volcanic eruption, but, you know, good music there, buddy. And,
yeah, I'm sorry. I tried to bring up that article, and it's got a program on it. Okay, I'm very sorry.
But, you know, I mean, it could be what is also fueling things like Yellowstone, you know, the increased activity in Yellowstone, which if it blows, we already discussed this, you know, that's that is not going to be good for the U.S. So.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, see, I did get the article without the music, you know, to show up, and they're talking about it being a brown dwarf of difficult objects to categorize that is both too huge to be considered a planet but not big enough to be considered a star. So the article goes back to it was detected in 2016.
Wow.
So it's fascinating to actually have a governmental department start talking about something that is coming towards us in the solar system in some kind of huge orbital thing that it comes by and it leaves and it goes out and then it disappears for centuries. No,
won't that increase the, you know, if something is spinning like that, it's going to flick off. It's like mud off your, you know, you're following a semi and the mud splatter comes up on your windshield. Would that be one of the explanations for why we see increased, you know, asteroids and things like that headed our way right now?
Well, yeah, they seem to think that this planet isn't by itself, that it actually has other planets or rogue planets with it, you know, and this is the thing that is with that. And so they're talking, that's where this gets off into some of the more unusual articles that I usually don't buy into. But they say that that's where, when it gets close enough, we could actually see the interacting into this. Of course, we know somewhere out there is Wormwood, which is the asteroid that the mm-hmm. Bible talks about in Revelations that taints the one-third of the water of the world.
Yeah.
You know? It becomes unusable. And so this is where you start to pay attention to these things and trying to understand, okay, is this contributing to that? Is this something that is coming that way? Not necessarily, but we've talked about the asteroids that they don't see coming that show up just hours by passing,
yeah.
No, and how that is affecting things. So this could be a reach, you know, it could be a reach where, but it's trying to explain how we're moving into a timeline where things are becoming very more biblically orientated and affecting the world in these last days. And so that's why I had decided, well, NASA, I'm pretty sure it was NASA that had these pictures. And so now I'm going to pay a little bit more attention.
Yeah, I mean, we briefly discussed before about the asteroids, like you just said, they were discovered like 48 hours before they were going to pass near the Earth. I mean, when they said near Earth, they're talking like within the 250,000 miles between us and the moon, have an asteroid just fly right through. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I mean, there's three of them. I was looking at the link. One impacted or exploded in Russia on June 21st, 2018. Another in Greenland, July 25th, 2018, and then another near the Mauritius Islands just a couple weeks ago, September 25th, 2018. But yet, I haven't heard anything at all about this happening on the news. They're keeping it quiet.
Yeah. Well, there was like the new earthquake that just happened in Indonesia on the 10th, October 10th, and the guy was bringing up the information, and there's no information to bring up because it's not on the web page. You know, it's that it's almost as if there's an asserted effort to keep information down. No, yeah. And so you can't have an accurate picture if you can't get in there, and that gets back to Mary Greeley, who watches Yellowstone all the time. And she will be talking about how cameras are turned off or information sites are turned off, you know, and trying to figure out, well, okay, you know, she contacts them and wants to know, well, why is this off? And they'll give them an excuse that it's being changed or it's upgraded or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's as if they're trying to make sure that people don't start panicking. And this is why they're so concerned about the Cascadia. I know I'm bouncing around a little bit here, but it seems to come back. The Cascadia is locked up from the panhandle of Alaska down to the Mexican border. The Cascadia runs for two states, Washington and Oregon, and then it goes into the San Andreas Fault. And we haven't seen a major move in that. And every place else in the Ring of Fire is just moving all over the place. And so it's almost as if, how can this be? Because when one side moves, the other side moves. And so it's as if it's a ticking time bomb, which they already know. So that is something that I hope doesn't happen because it's going to affect so many different people's lives. But when you don't have a little stress released here and a little stress released there, you know, it becomes one big release of stress, like what happened with that 9.0 in Alaska in the 60s. You know, that was amazing. I've seen video footage of that where the ships that were in the harbor were sitting on the muck while a fissure opened up and drained the entire harbor until it was full, and then the water level came back up, you know, and that was one of the worst earthquakes in our recent recorded history.
Yeah, and that was with the limited technology they had to videotape and things back then. Nowadays, I mean, you got, you know, the police, if they need video, they'll go door to door. Hey, let me look at your porch video. I mean, yeah, everything is videotaped nowadays. Everything. Yeah. I mean, it'd be so hard. If a crack opened up, like, you know, in your driveway, and, you know, chances are somebody has video of it in your neighborhood. So that's so weird.
I'm not one of those people to think that fast, like if something's happening, oh, I got to turn my phone on and record it.
Right, you know, right.
It's like over before I even think about that.
Yeah, no. Me too. Like, oh, man, I have my phone on me.
Yeah. So we did touch a little bit about the red tides that are devastating some areas, but I think it's starting to subside in Florida. I have friends that were down at Fort Myers Beach. They have a place down there, and on Sanibel Island where people were just walking away because the smell was so bad. But they came up and they cleaned up the beach in Fort Myers, and it's been tremendously increased. And so that is starting to subside, which is good, but it was the worst red tide I believe that they've had on record. And so dolphins, manatees were dying. And so then on the other side of this too, which is that what we're starting to see is that the in our social unrest is becoming very chaotic. And I need to preface that by saying that in 2010, I was down in Tyler, Texas, and when I was there speaking at a church, Pastor Jim's church, he likes to talk to somebody before he allows them to use his pulpit, get to know them a little bit. And so we were sitting in his office, and when we were swapping God stories, because, you know, you and I, when we start talking, it's like time just flies by, And so here we are, we're sitting in his office, and we're talking. 2 hours went by, and he's got three bookshelves on the wall, and off the top bookshelf comes flying a book, like it's catapulted off the shelf, and falls between our feet, and we're looking at each other, right? And I says, Jim, I think we just got a message here, you know? And I leaned over, and I picked it up, and it was a summary, a little book, a summary by Dr. G. James Kennedy about the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence. Right, so I made note of it, took a picture, hoping that I could get the use of the cover for my book at the time that I was getting ready to write, and I wasn't given permission, so I can just use the information. And so, but when I got back home, I started to have these God experiences where God was bringing me somewhere, and I was living this experience. And the first one was that I was a slave. I was a slave taken from my family, and I was in a house, and I was a kitchen worker along with somebody else, and I had somebody who was my controller, right? So there was two of us there. We stood at attention until the people that were we were working for needed something, and then we would jump to it. Now, these people that were there were elitists. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, how does this fit into this? Because it's like 2010, and I have no comprehension. But now when you watch the news, you are seeing these elitists that are making decisions for the mass population, and if they don't get their way, they are, like, really upset.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking, whoa, this is a serious step here in a direction that I had seen in 2010. And I'm thinking, wow, if this doesn't get checked, we are going to be in serious problems, because if the Constitution of the United States falls, America as we know it ends.
Yeah.
And this is what God started showing me in 2010, where I had more than 90 dream experiences that year, and I put four of them in my book, Healing the Nation, at the very end for a motivator for people to not be sitting on the fence, or lukewarm, as we say it in Christianese, you know, because now is no time to be lukewarm. We need to press into God. We need to get into repentance so that we can then start to counteract the effects that contribute to where we're at, because if we don't get the ear of God and healing doesn't start taking place within our country, what will happen is that they will wind up being in leadership, and then it's going to be all over. And I was so sick to my stomach when the Lord returned to me to my room, the tears, I could not stop the tears. I cried for 3 hours in my gut-wrenching prayers. I asked God, please don't let this happen. Please don't let this happen. Have mercy on us. You know, and I am crying out to him because I was ripped from my family. I have no idea what happened to my family. Everything that I had became somebody else's. The only reason that I was alive is because I could work for somebody. And if I couldn't work for somebody, then I wasn't going to be alive anymore. And every second of my day was thinking about how I could escape. And that was gut-wrenching. It was terrible. And I'm thinking, and I'll tell you what, the other night when I was watching some of the stuff that was happening during the confirmation for the Supreme Court justice, it struck that memory. And I had a panic attack thinking to myself, oh, man, I never want to experience what I experienced back there. That's how bad it was. It was traumatic. These things that I lived were very traumatic, and it just scares the living daylights out of me because we're moving in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you see how they're trying to shape. I mean, okay, back in the 60s when liberals would go to the college campuses, you know, there was resistance there because the intellectuals of that day and time, that was, you know, the liberalism wasn't as rampant back in the teachers and instructors and professors as it is today. So there's still some resistance there. But as they died off and those liberal professors became older, bringing more people under their wing, teaching them, those students are now the professors today. And it spread like a virus throughout all the universities. And now, instead of being, you know, bastions of, you know, democratic thought processes and all that, it is nothing but a breeding ground for them to get their anti-God, you know, whatever biases they have out there, you know, anti-God, anti-Constitution, you know, anti-anything that says that they're wrong. I mean, you know, they're calling, the Bible talks about calling good evil and evil good. There's a good example of it. Talking about in the last days, you know, children would turn in their parents. I mean, you know, they're saying, well, that was an example during World War II and Nazi Germany. It's to the point now that, you know, if you try and discipline your child, they can call the cops and you get arrested. You know,
I mean,
it's crazy. Yeah, the days and time that we're living in, I mean, I can understand, you know, say, well, John, you know, talked in a lot of different, you know, symbolism and all that. He's trying to describe things that he had no idea what they were, you know, but yet he's trying to describe them as accurate as he can with a mindset from 2,000 years ago. How much more
that we see 10 years down the road are things we do. I mean, I see, you know, this company in Japan is already offering to sell you your own humanoid robot.
You know?
And there are, you know, from what I read, some of them, they're trying to figure out, well, how can you have one that is sexually compatible to you, and that way you don't need a wife anymore.
Oh, wow.
You talk about that, you know, AI technology,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, how weird is this stuff going to get before, if you hold a biblical view of things, you're going to be considered the one who's out of the norm, you know, that, like, we need to psychologically, you know, house you because you're the crazy one, you know?
And yeah.
It's getting weird. It really is getting weird. And, you know, I can see why John was having a hard time, you know, trying to describe what he was saying. Imagine if God showed you things that were going to happen, you know, 50 years down the road. In the past 50 years, look how much we've shifted as far as a society. Imagine if he's showing it to you 2,000 years in advance. Yeah. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time again on today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. I mean, Tom and I, we can talk for hours, as you can probably figure out. But we are having an in-depth discussion on the end of days, and I want you to come back and join us as we conclude this portion of our interview tomorrow. We're going to kick it off right here. This is some interesting, fascinating stuff. You don't want to miss it. Come back tomorrow. Until then, be blessed.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.